Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How's everybody doing? Somebody's doing really good over there. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you ever have one of those moments of shock? When everything just, your world just stops. And I'm not used to getting up here and speaking. This frankly scares me to death. But on my way down here, I get a text and it said, hey, there's nobody to run sound. And I'm the guy that schedules the sound people here. And guess who's scheduled to run sound tonight? Yeah, it's me. So, I frantically am calling people. Fortunately, Dinger was here. Dinger's training, and yeah, I'm telling you, he's a trooper. He runs sound back in the studio, and he's learning to do it up here. And he stepped in and got the band running. I owe the band a huge dinner or something because I really kind of messed them up. But anyway, that was the beginning of my last couple hours. So, hopefully, things improve from there, right? So let's pray, and we'll get into the Word. Father, what we're going to talk about tonight, Lord, just still has me in awe. Lord, we need to learn to access your power. We need to learn to access everything about you in times of trouble and times when times are good. And so, Father, we just pray that you will open our understanding, open all our knowledge to what it is that you want to speak to us tonight from your word. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where Pastor Tom left off last week. And did a great job of explaining something I thought was really good, and I think a lot of people miss in this passage. The writings of Paul, I have a Monday night Bible study that we do, and we've actually gone through almost all of Paul's writings and into the Gospels. Now we're into Acts. And Paul has a tendency in his, as Tom mentioned last week, he has these run-on sentences. You know, they go forever, just one sentence, and you just go, man, you know, what was grammar like back then, you know? And anyway, the prayer that he went over this last week was just amazing, and that something really hit me personally as he was going over this, and one of the things was that we are, matter of fact, let's just read that. I'm going to start in Ephesians 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, and actually, let me go back, let's start there. Wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In verse 18, and I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When I used to just kind of breeze over that, I never really thought about that a whole lot. And his inheritance in the saints. We're his inheritance. And man, I thought, wow, has he got a bad deal on that one? Wow. If I were perfect and wonderful, and I wouldn't want to inherit me. I feel sorry for my wife inheriting me, you know. But it really hit me. You know, how many times do we say, I'm just rehashing what Pastor Tom taught on last week. How many times do we get down on ourselves, you know, calling ourselves an idiot or whatever? I've done that many, many times. My wife gets mad at me. She said, you know, that's not who we are. We are his inheritance. And if we're his inheritance, we're pretty special. We're his children. And so I want to pick up there, and now we're going to jump into some things. One of the things I want to say also about that, just real quick, is that it says that in verse 17 that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. How many know that you can have knowledge and even revelation, but you don't have wisdom? Anybody know somebody like that? They know everything? Know-it-alls? But they don't necessarily have wisdom. And God, he's praying here that God will give us wisdom and concerning the knowledge and revelation of him. And just as you can have that, you can also, I just throw this in as an aside, you can know all about God, but not be born again. You know, that's where I was. I could tell you all the, and I've shared this many times here, I think, but I knew all about the big verses of the Bible. I knew all the major stories of the Bible. I could quote you the books of the Bible in order, all the stuff I learned in Sunday school growing up. You know, I could parrot that back to you, but I didn't know God. There wasn't any wisdom. There wasn't any understanding there until I was born again. And then the light went on, and I began to understand the Word. I began to hear what God was saying. I began to hear God. Even though I didn't know that's what it was, you know, no, I didn't have anybody telling me that, but that's what it was. So let's pick up in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And this is mind-boggling stuff. And I'm going to do my best to explain this. I'm hoping God will explain this through me. And verse 19 says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come." That's powerful. And as you get into this, you begin to realize just how powerful this statement is. Paul said, "I want you to know about this power." Paul experienced the power of God firsthand, like none of us have ever experienced, probably. He was knocked down. Remember when Jesus pursued Paul on the road to Damascus, he blinded him and spoke to him and said, "Paul, Paul, why are you," or he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that was the beginning of Paul's journey with Christ. From that point, the world changed, really, because through Paul's writings and through his evangelism and so forth, he wrote half the New Testament. And it's really awesome, the power that he experienced at that time. He also saw the glories of heaven. He saw that, he said, "I don't know whether I was in the body or, you know, in a trance or what," but he said, "The things I saw, I was caught up to the third heaven, and the things I saw, I can't even repeat them." And later on, he goes, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." That's an exciting verse. You ever thought about that? you can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for us. That's exciting because I'll tell you what, if you've been, you know, out and about and seen some of the beauty and the, you know, I like going out in nature and, you know, doing stuff out there, but some of the places I've had privilege of seeing have been absolutely amazing and just, you know, take your breath away, some of them. And stuff like that doesn't even compare for what's coming. And that's exciting. That's really exciting. And so he begins to share with us about this power. And he uses a lot of really kind of very descriptive words. When we read this in the English, we go, the surpassing greatness of his power. And I've read that a million times, and I've never really thought about that to the depths I have today and yesterday. It says the surpassing greatness of his power. The word for surpassing is, and I'm not going to say this right, hyperbolo. We'll just go with that. And it means to surpass in throwing and to throw beyond something. That picture, when I think of surpass, I just think of, oh, it goes past something. This picture goes, it's a picture of somebody that's throwing something way far away, way past anything else. You know, I like watching, I like going to baseball games. I'm not a fan of watching them on TV, but I do enjoy going to a ball game. And there's just some of those throws from center field, you know, fence all the way to home plate or to right field all the way to third base. And those guys get them out. That's amazing, you know, the strength and everything that's within that. So that's kind of the picture here. Throwing with a power, and it says the greatness of his power. And the word greatness there is megathos, and megathos is just magnitude. It's something big, gigantic. Think of Mount Everest or something. That's where we get the word mega from. So that says something, because if you describe something as being mega, mega big, that means it's like ginormous, right? It's really big. And so there's that, so we see that this surpasses it, this greatness, this Everest-sized thing, and then the word for power is dunamis. And it's the ability or physical or moral as residing in a person or a thing. It's power in action. It's something that is, you know, that's where we get the word dynamite from. And dynamite is explosive. And so when we see that in Scripture, he's giving us this picture then of this explosive power that is like no other. Let's look at some scripture here. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. I love that. God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. The weak things, the things that aren't, that nobody looks at as being, you know, of much value. He chooses those things so that his glory and his power can shine through there, not ours. Revelation 15:8 says, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and his power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. I can't even imagine that. You know, I have a tendency, because like when I read stuff like this, I try to visualize it. And trying to picture some of this, especially in Revelation, is just mind-boggling, but trying to picture some of these things is just amazing. And trying to imagine that nobody can even enter that temple because of the power of God. Matthew 22:29, But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God." Huh. It's not just understanding the scriptures, it's understanding the power of God. Now, he's speaking to people who are criticizing him because of, you know, using the power of God. And he's saying, you don't even understand it. You don't have a clue. Matthew 24:30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Amen. And what a day that will be. Mm-mm. Yeah. That's something to get excited about right there. I remember when we were in Israel, Pastor Ron was, we were up on the Mount of Olives, and that's where Jesus will actually come and set foot on in his second coming. And it says that those of us who have gone before will return with him. And he was saying, as we were standing there, he goes, a lot of you may never come back to this spot here on earth, but he says, when you die, you will come back here with him. The next time you see this will be from the air. I thought, whoa, that's a trip. What a crazy thought that is. Okay, so Mark 5:30, immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around, and the crowd said, who touched my garments? Who touched me? I felt something leave. It was the power of God, something that we're not used to. I know that here in the past, when we've prayed for people, Pastor Ron's alluded to it several, or mentioned to it several times, several others, that when they lay hands on, they feel something. I had, just not too long ago, laid my hands on a young lady that was asking for deliverance from some things and felt it burning hot. And so it's something that we don't quite understand. It happens in the spiritual realm, but it's there. And Jesus felt that leaving him. He was that source of power. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Amen to that. Words don't really accomplish a lot without the power of God behind them. Yeah, I think of a, you ever watch those fighters? You know, they get up there before the, I guess when they announce the fights and all that, and they get up there and they face off with each other and try to stare each other down, you know, intimidate one another. And what always cracks me up is the guy that just stands there real calm, and he just stands there, and he's just looking at him. Almost got a little bit of a smile on his face. And the other guy's just trash talking, you know, and trying to intimidate him and everything. And then they get in the ring, and the guy that had the little smile just knocks the other guy out. I love that. The other guy talked a lot, but he didn't have the power to back it up. And God has the power. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Man, yeah, amen to that. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. You know, I think sometimes when we feel our worst is when God can use us. You know, you ever had that experience where you just didn't feel, you just don't feel up to anything? And a ministry situation comes your way and it's presented with you, and you know, you're there and you open your mouth and God begins to fill your mouth with the words he wants to say. My wife this morning said that she had prayed this morning that God give me a ministry opportunity. She prayed that on the way down to the church this morning. She works in the office here. And she said that she was here an hour or so, and she got a call from the front desk, said, there's a lady on the phone that's really distraught. She needs prayer. Can you pray with her? And Debbie said, yeah, sure. So she picked up the phone, and she began to talk to this lady. And she said things were coming out of her mouth that she didn't even know where they came from. It was God filling her. And, you know, we just need to put ourselves in that position where we say, God, use me. I can't do anything. I'm nobody, but use me. God chooses the nobodies of this world to accomplish his purposes. And I'll tell you what, I'd much rather be a nobody. That's where it's at. A nobody for Christ. Amen. You're a nobody, you're somebody. The first will be last, and the last will be first. So our takeaway number one is he extends access to his power, to his children, his inheritance. And boy, that clock is going fast. I'm trying to get, woo, that's crazy. Okay, if I were to write this, it's a good thing I didn't do the translation of the Bible. I'd have my own. This is John's Revised Standard Versions. You would know the out-of-the-park ginormousness of his explosive power toward us. And there you go. That's my vernacular. Okay. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He extends, the Bible says right here, Paul's saying, he extends his power toward us. It's offered to us. And so we've got to figure out now, okay, how do I get this power? I'm not walking in it all the time, so how do I get it? And here we're told that all we have to do is come boldly before his grace. And we're going to look at a couple of other things there. But, you know, I kind of geek out on stuff once in a while that, and I think I may have shared this before, but I like science stuff. And I can go down these rabbit holes on YouTube that lead you all kinds of weird places. And there's one particular interest I have, and it's in quantum physics. I failed algebra, okay? So I don't know, you know, I'm not good at some of this stuff, but it interests me, some of the concepts and so forth of this stuff. And it's anybody ever watching in the Marvel movies? You know, hey, they're in the quantum this and quantum that, and they're going all through these different realms. And believe it or not, that's based upon some truth in theory. And so the quantum physics says that you can be in two places at one time. As a matter of fact, depending on which dimension that you're in, they say there's 10 dimensions, maybe 11, but depending on which dimension you're in, there could be numbers and numbers and numbers of you at the same time. Now, I needed that tonight because I needed somebody back there while I was up here. So I got to figure that physics out. But anyway, we don't understand a lot about it. It's all theory, but it is based upon mathematics and a lot of stuff that most scientists agree that this is truly the case. So I'll watch this stuff and get all into it until my mind just kind of is in overload, and I'll go back to Gilligan's Island or something like that. One of the things, though, that I found I was watching that was really interesting, here's all these scientists, and they're saying that this 10th dimension is so powerful that the only being that ever could exist there is a god. Interesting. They call it the God dimension. So I think, wow, that's where he's at. Now, God is not restricted by dimensions or any of that. All I know is that there's a spiritual realm and there's a physical realm. I do know that. And they exist at the same time, and one can be interact with the other, depending on what God's will concerning those things are, or however that works, I do not know. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17 says this. And this is Elisha. They're coming to get him. They're surrounding him, and they've got this army surrounding him. Now, when the attendant of the man of God, Elisha, had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" So he answered him, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What a trip would that be? Man, can you imagine that? Does it make you wonder what goes on around us? You know, that's kind of crazy. There is stuff. There are angels in this place right now, in another place that we can't see. Amen. We can't see them, but they're here. God's presence is here. Go figure that one out. Now, his presence is within us, but I think he's here in a very special way when there's a big corporate meeting like this. I don't know for sure, but that's just my thoughts. And there's just this whole thing. Excuse me. Angels. Jesus suddenly appearing, walking through walls. You know, all the stuff that happens in Scripture, we see that there's this other realm. And so what I'm thinking, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm going, so he's extending this power toward us. How do we access that power? So let's look at Matthew 9, 22 and 29. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Courage, your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. And then he touched their eyes and said, "It shall be done unto you according to your faith." Matthew 15, 28. Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done to you for as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Matthew 17, 20. And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, 'Be moved from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Luke 17, 19, and he said to him, "Stand up and go, your faith has made you well." You see a common thing there? It's our faith. A lot of times we just think, oh, Jesus just touched them and poof. And that may have happened. But I also say that faith has a tremendous amount to do with you and I. Because we are born again. We have that understanding. He rebuked his disciples for the lack of faith. And so it's up to us to combine our faith with his spirit to access that realm and receive that power. Okay, I've got just a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to jet on to the end here, and we're going to finish this chapter out. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23 says, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So our final thing that we want to take away from this chapter is be part of the church. You know, I've heard people, and you have too, for years, that say, oh, I don't have to go to church. Yeah, I can worship God on this mountain right here. Well, I'll bet you don't, but, you know, I've read the Bible. I read the Bible. Really? How much? All kinds of excuses, anything to keep from having to go to church, right? They don't want to give up a day. And it comes from not having the relationship. Ask me how I know. When I didn't go to church, when I didn't want to go to church, I didn't have a relationship with God. It was when I was born again that there was a hunger and a desire to follow Jesus. And if you look at the disciples and you look at the people that followed him, he touched their lives. He changed their lives right then and there in a physical way, and they radically wanted to follow him. And when he touches our lives, he does it in a way, maybe it's not the physical healing, maybe it's not a miracle or anything like that, but he can touch us in a way that nobody else can. And he can bring us to that point where we humbly bow before him and say, God, I'm yours. And that is where true life begins. That's where it happens. And so people that say, well, I don't have to go to church. You know, the church is this, the church is that, whatever. You know, chances are that they've been hurt by Christians or they've been hurt by the church. You know, the church is made up of people. I'm a people. And I've been hurt, and I've hurt people, unfortunately. You know, and it breaks my heart to say that. But we're people, and we do stupid things sometimes. But you don't throw out the church. Jesus died for the church. He said right here, that's his inheritance. The church is his inheritance. That's us. And so when you cut yourself off from the church, basically you're saying, God, you know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. And there's no relationship there. And you might know about God. You might know a lot of things. You know, our Mighty Men group goes out to the streets once a month, and we minister to the homeless. And it's really interesting how some of them know an awful lot about Scripture. I'll tell you what, some of them know more Scripture than most people that are sitting in church. It's really interesting. I talked this last week, this week ago, with a guy, and he wanted prayer for deliverance from alcohol. And this guy, man, he was spouting off all kinds of Scripture. Accurately. God knew what he was saying. And I said, so what's your background? He said, I'm a preacher's kid. He said, but my dad preached one thing and did another. And he said, I couldn't wait to get out of there. And so I understand that people get hurt by the church. They see the wrong thing, and so they throw the whole thing out. There is a very real church, and God is alive, and he's alive in people that love him. And I'll tell you what, that's what's neat about this church. And, you know, yep, we make mistakes, and we're sorry. Forgive us, and let's move on. For everybody else that's in the church that is coming to the church, I like what Pastor Josh said one time. He did a sermon called Be the Church. I thought, wow, that's really, really good. Be the church. Be who Christ called you to be. Live it out. Live it out in your life. When you go get your hair cut, talk to the person that's cutting your hair. When, you know, I think of a million situations, you know, but just wherever you are, that's where God's at. You ever think about that? Think about that. Jesus indwells you. That's what the word says. You are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. So wherever you are, that's where Jesus is. And that brings up the old saying, what would Jesus do? Now, I wish I could say I live that all the time. I don't. But if we remind ourselves and we get in the habit of reminding ourselves, and that's why it's important to start our day out in prayer and in the Word. And, you know, it's real life. It's real life with Christ. So if you want to access the power of God, if we really, really want to access that power of God, we have to learn to live by faith. Step out in faith. One of my favorite scenes, and I'll have to end with this, but one of my favorite scenes in a movie, I forget which Indiana Jones movie it was, but there's a big, you know, crevasse that goes across, and there the whatever it is that he's after is over, the crystal thing is over on the other side. But it's like you can't even see the bottom of this thing. But he has this writing that says, it's kind of cryptic, but he knows that it means if I just step out, take that step, something's going to pop up and be there. And he does. You know, he finally just takes that step out over the crevasse and boom, this thing comes up underneath him. And I think that's the way it is with walking with God. There's a lot of times that God asks us as the church, his body, to step out and do something. And it may seem like we're stepping into the abyss. We don't know what in the world we're doing. But we know, we have this nagging feeling that he's telling us this. And we just do it. And it's amazing how something, he always is there. And then your next step, and your next step. And that's the exciting part of walking with Christ. It's a walk of faith, and it's a walk, when you do that, it's exciting. You're joyful, you can't wait to tell somebody about it. So anyway, I'm over time, and I'm just going to pray this. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your Spirit would truly, and Lord, you've already convicted me of so much, Lord, of how much more I need to exercise faith. Lord, help us. Help us to be your church. Help us to be who you've called us to be. And Lord, as we do that, the power of God is going to be unleashed within our lives and those around us in a way we can't even imagine. Little steps of faith, Lord, help us to use them and to touch you. Father, we thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all those who are here tonight, Lord, those who are watching. And God, continue to move in us and speak to us and through us. And we give you all glory, for you're so good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.